You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Woohoo! Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 13. Notice what it says here. In the, where do you start? This is so good. The 14th verse. We'll start in the 14th verse, 13th chapter. It says, for here, everybody say here.
Here.
Okay, here being this earth where we are. It says, here we have no continuing city. I love that. In other words, you know, you say, well, I've lived in the same place all my life. Yeah, but you're going to die one day in the natural if Jesus tarries. Or you'll be raptured if you're alive when he comes back. So here you have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes.
And what is so neat about that is what's coming is better than what we have here. Even at its best, even on our best day, hallelujah, nothing compared to what we got coming.
Amen.
We have no continuing city here, but we seek one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Now, you know, we often thank God for what he has done, but here he's talking about what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. So thanks doesn't always deal with what has taken place. Thanks many times and praise and thanksgiving has to do with promises made. Words that were spoken to us that hadn't had come to pass yet. But we thank ahead of time. So we're often thinking that Thanksgiving has to do with just thanking people for what they've done. That's true. We should do that. My goodness. We're living in a time and an age and a generation where we've become an unthankful people. We ought to be grateful to God and grateful to people and grateful to our country. And you don't hear a lot of gratitude, you know, being spread around. We should be grateful. Are you with me? But then also, from a future standpoint, we ought to thank ahead of time. Notice it says the sacrifice of praise. Everyone say sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
Now people sacrifice to get the blessing under the old covenant. They would sacrifice to get the rain on their land.
Yes, right.
They'd sacrifice, Solomon did it, 1,000 sacrifices just to get wisdom. Now that was beforehand. That wasn't thanking God for what he had done. That was thanking him for what he would do.
Yeah.
That was praising him and thanking him for what's going to happen. He said, well, I ain't got a whole lot to thank God for. Oh, you don't think he's ever going to do anything for you? You don't think he'll ever get you out of what you're in? Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. Yeah, but you want to come out of it? Start thanking him for the answer. Start thanking him for what he's going to do. Thanksgiving doesn't just deal in the past. It does. It does do that, but not just that. Not solely that. Thanksgiving deals with the future in many cases. You say, well, I've had a rough time. I've had a rough life. I had to, you know. I'm not thanking God I didn't get a deer last week. Are you kidding? I'm thanking God I'm going to get a deer. Okay. You thank ahead of time in many cases, not just for what has happened. That's a given. That's just proper. Amen. To thank people for what they have done. Thank God for what he has done. And when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. Woo! Makes me want to shout.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We thank him for what he's done. But here, really, the context of this is we're looking for another city. We're thanking him for what's coming.
Yeah.
Amen. Man, that puts it on a whole different level. It puts it on a whole different plane. How can I rejoice today? How can I thank God today? I mean, with all that's going on in my life, I'm thanking him for what he's going to do.
Amen.
Woo!
I
will offer to him the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of my lips, giving thanks to his name. Woo! Hallelujah, somebody. Because I know he'll come through. He always does. I know he's going to do what he says. So I'm going to thank him and I'm going to praise him. Even in the trial, I'm going to thank him, not for the trial, but for the deliverance that's coming. Even in the test, I'm not thanking him for the test, but I'm going to thank him for the answer and for the victory and the triumph that's coming. It's a sacrifice now. It's a sacrifice I'm offering that I'm bringing to him for future blessing, for future hope, future victory. I'm getting my eyes off what's going on here, and I'm getting my eyes on what God is going to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And, you know, not to get into works. I know we're saved by faith and grace, and it takes faith to, you know, to get your prayers answered. But if you really truly have faith and you truly believe, then you will consummate that faith with thanksgiving. You will say thank you before it happens. You know, I've said that many times. Use that example. If someone came to you and you trusted them, you had no reason to doubt what they said. They're honorable people. And they said they were going to do something for you, whatever the case may be, whether it's, you know, mowing your yard, fixing your barn, or feeding your dogs. I don't know, you know. And they say they're going to do that, or they're going to come through and bless you financially next week. Next week I've got this coming in. I'm going to come by. The Lord spoke to me. I just want to give you so much money. I'll come by your house next week. Now, you wouldn't stand there and say, well, I sure wish I could believe that. Or, hey, let's go another step further. Or stand there looking right now and say, well, I sure hope so. Man, if they're honorable and you trust them and you know who they are, they're not going to lie to you. They're people that you know have had a relationship with. They say they're going to do something. Before they ever do it, they've just given you their word. It's something in the future. Did you know the most civil, decent, proper thing to do? In fact, it'd be lunacy not to. Is to say thank you. Wouldn't it? And yet you're thanking them for what has not happened. You're thanking them for what's going to happen. You're thanking them for their promise.
Amen.
Because they're trustworthy. You believe them. It's a done deal.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you probably wouldn't get a whole lot of help in the future if you just kind of shook your head and wondered about it. Or said, I hope so.
Right.
Yet we do that to God all the time. Quit meddling, got to preaching now. God makes a promise He's going to take care of us. And we just hope He comes through. I just hope something. I hope He does. I hope so. Oh, I hope so. I wish I could believe that. And you would never tell a person that to their face that you know that has made you a promise. That you know will come through with it. And yet that's kind of the way we treat prayer sometimes. It's kind of the way we treat God sometimes. You know, we've got to get out of that. We've got to get in faith. We've got to see this thing the way it is. We have to realize this is God we're talking about. And if we can't trust God, we can't trust anybody.
Amen.
If you can't take God's word for it, whose word can you take for it? And that should change your attitude. That would change your outlook. It changes your perspective on the future. It'll make you thankful and grateful just based on His promises. I don't know what the newspaper says. I don't know what CNN and Fox News says, but I know what God says, hallelujah. And I'm going to worship and praise Him and thank Him because He always comes through. He has never failed me, and He's not going to start doing that now.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
That's good.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me by the still waters, restores my soul. Leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Amen.
For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
He's prophesying. I mean, He said it's going to happen in the future. Man, surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life.
Yeah.
Amen.
My future's bright.
Yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd. So you make a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips, giving thanks to His name. Turn over to Acts 16. Here's an instance. This is an awesome story. You know, Paul and Silas, they're always getting in trouble. Paul was always getting in trouble with the world because he stood up for Jesus. Now, you better mark it down. If you're going to stand up for Jesus, everybody's not going to think you're the best thing that happened since sliced bread. There are some people who are going to actually be offended at you being a Christian. But that's just the way it goes. I mean, there'll be some that need the Lord, that are looking for the Lord, that you'll be able to minister to. And man, that's why we do what we do. Amen. But know this, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, the Bible says. And so here Paul and Silas, man, they're just preaching the gospel, helping people. They come across this woman who was demon-possessed, cast the devil out of her, and instead of people getting excited and rejoicing about it, her masters went to the court Yeah. Went to the court and said, man, these guys, they've come in here and they have messed up our livelihood. They cast this demon out of this girl that was our slave, and now she's not demon-possessed and we're not making any money. And, of course, being a court that was full of Christians, they took Paul and Silas and threw them in jail. I mean, how insane is this? What kind of world are they living in? Where this woman is demon-possessed, now she's totally sane. She no longer have this familiar spirit about her. She had a spirit of divination, the Bible says. And they were making money off her being demon-possessed like this. And so they were so mad when she got set free, you'd think they'd be rejoicing. Well, where was their heart? That they threw Paul and Silas, took him to the court, threw him in jail. Not just in jail, they took him down to the inner prison. The 23rd verse says, when they had laid many stripes on them. Wow, they beat them. They threw them in prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. 24th verse, 16th chapter, Acts. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Wow. That's not like today, the stock market. This is another, this is feet stocks. Inner prison. I mean, you're not in the outward prison. You're in the inner prison, like the dungeon, the torture chamber, you know. And you're not just thrown in there. You're thrown in there with your feet in stocks. And it says at 25th verse, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Wow. I know sometimes it might be a little hard to praise God. I mean, you may come in, you had a rough day or rough week, or you didn't get all that sleep this morning, you came in. And it's just kind of hard to get in to worship. Goodness gracious, hard to praise. You need to read this again. Are you with me? They're in stocks. They just got beat in stripes. Now, are they thanking God for that? No. No, they're not thanking God for the stripes. They're not thanking God for the stocks. They're thanking God for His hand on their life. They're thanking God, I would imagine, and I'm not speculating too much here because we see this in the Scripture all over and over and over. They're probably thanking God for their deliverance. They're thanking God they're going to be free. They're thanking God for what they have and what they're going to have. Hallelujah. They're praising God and singing hymns. And listen, in the natural, they had no reason to do that. Sometimes in the natural, we don't have any reason either. It seems like in the natural. But, hey, we're praising Him for our deliverance. We're praising Him for what He's going to do. Amen. Not just what He's done, but what He's going to do. And they were doing this so loud, the other prisoners heard them. Now, they were in the inner prison. But evidently, it was loud enough for everybody else to hear them. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. How can you be praying and singing hymns when you just got beat up and your feet are in stocks? You know, I'm thinking, I remember sitting out in the cold this week, hunting mule deer. I didn't feel like praising God. I was freezing. Hello. I mean, I'm sitting in the snow. There's no stands. There's nothing. We're just sitting in. You know, and I'm thinking, I'm just, if a deer came by, I couldn't have hit it. There's no way. Dribble bow back and there's no telling where they're going. But they've been beat up. They're in stocks. Instead of whining, moaning, and complaining, and griping about their situation, they're singing and praising God. That's powerful. But notice what happens here. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Yeah. Hey, this is not some common earthquake. Amen. I don't know if you've ever heard on the news when earthquakes happen, walls fall down, people die, they dig them out, you know, and they don't even find everybody. But this earthquake set everybody free. That's a pretty supernatural deal here, amen? And you know what it was a result of? I firmly believe this without any question. It was a result of them praising God and thanking God and sacrificing praise with the fruit of their lips. Brother Osteen used to say, when you're down the lowest, shout the loudest. See, when you're down the lowest, you shout the loudest. When everything's going wrong, you begin to praise God. Not for what's going on. You praise Him for the answer. You praise Him for the victory. You praise Him for His goodness. You praise Him for how He's gotten you out of one mess after another, and here's another one, and He's going to do it again. Hallelujah. Amen. And they did. They began to praise at midnight, so much so that the prisoners heard them. And an earthquake came, supernatural deliverance when there's no way possible, and everybody's chains fell off and everybody was set free. Awesome, amazing story. In fact, if you go on, the jailer was going to kill himself because by Roman law or rule, if the guard let the people loose, their sentence was death. No questions asked. If they got on his watch, if they got loose, he was condemned to die. So he just took a sword out and going to kill himself. And Paul stops and says, no, we're all here. We're safe. And he winds up telling the man how to be saved. The man says, what must I do to be saved? He gets saved and his whole house gets saved. Hey, because somebody wasn't just whining, moaning, and crying and groaning. Because somebody was praising God and thanking God when everything had gone wrong. Wow. I mean, it's easy to praise God. We're all excited, you know. But what about when times get tough? Times do get tough. Listen, there's a devil out there. Listen, this was demonically inspired. The devil wanted to kill Paul and Silas. It was the devil moving on those people that had them thrown in jail. It was the devil that moved on those people to beat them and strike them and put them in stocks. This was not God. It was not His will. The devil was doing it to destroy them. Oh, but man, he messed up when he got a hold of Paul and Silas. I heard Don Murphy, Pastor Don Murphy, y'all remember Pastor Don, preached one time. He preached a sermon called Too Hot to Handle. And he says you put a pot on a stove with a metal handle full of water, you turn the heat on, you can hold that handle for a while. Before that water starts heating up, it gets to where you're going to have to let go. It just gets too hot to handle. Sometimes the devil grabs us, gets a hold of us, sucker punches us, whatever the case may be. We're not listening, or we're not looking, or something goes wrong, or, you know. But if we'll just keep praising Him, we can turn the heat up on Him. And we'll get too hot for Him to handle. He'll have to let go. I tell you, about midnight, Paul and Silas started heating up. The devil's holding on as long as he could. And he's holding on, and they just keep praising. All of a sudden, they got too hot to handle. And the chain just fell off everybody. He couldn't even hold them with a chain. Nothing. He couldn't know all the prison doors were opened. Because praise just make you too hot to handle for the devil.
That's good.
I love that. Amen. So maybe he's got you. When I say that, I know we resist the devil and he flees from us. But I tell you, one of the ways we submit to God and resist the devil is through praise and worship. Through thanksgiving. Thanking God for His deliverance. Thanking God when we're chained up. Thanking God when everything's going wrong. We can't pay our bills. When the doctor gives that bad report, we start thanking Him for His healing. We start thanking Him for His provision. And we finally just get too hot to handle.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And the disease just goes. Are you with me? Turn over to Jonah. Jonah chapter 2. Jonah, you know, and here's a totally opposite case. I mean, we're talking about two guys, first of all, in Acts 16, who were just doing the will of God. They were fulfilling the ministry on their life, and the devil threw his best shot, but his best shot was not enough. And it never is. No matter what the devil throws at you, it's never enough. It may look that way. You may feel that way. You may go through some times that look pretty dark and grim, as it were. But if you'll begin to worship God and thank God for His goodness and His deliverance and His power, you'll come out of that mess.
That's right.
Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You didn't say you'd die in there, stay in there. You'll walk through it. You're coming out the other side.
Amen.
You'll fear no evil, for the Lord is with you. His rod and His staff, they comfort you. Amen. Jonah is just kind of an opposite case. He's not in trouble now for serving God. He's in trouble because he's running from God.
Yeah.
that's just the other end of the spectrum, which is, I think, is really cool because in life, sometimes we're right, things go wrong. Sometimes we're just flat wrong.
Yeah.
Amen? But there's hope for either one of us. There's hope for us when we're wrong, if we'll repent. There's hope for us when we're right, and the devil throws the best shot. And the answer is to praise God. Thank Him. Thank Him for His goodness. Thank Him for His deliverance. Thank Him. Now, I'm very careful to say this, and I want you to understand. The Bible does not teach that we thank Him for bad things. We don't thank Him for the crisis. We thank Him in the crisis. We thank Him for His deliverance.
Right.
You know, we're not thanking God for what's happening to us now.
Right.
We're thanking Him for what's going to happen to us. We're putting sacrifices out there for His blessing to come upon us, upon our bodies, our marriage, our children, our business, or whatever the case may be. We're sacrificing praise. But we don't have anything else to offer. Are you kidding? Can't buy your way into this thing. You can only thank Him into it. You can only praise your way into it. That's the only way you can get into His presence. You enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. That's the payment. That's the ticket. That's what you have to... It's all free, but that's the way you have to get there. I mean, they have a sale on down here at Brookshire's. And they offer some free stuff too. You know, they don't do that, but if they did, they could offer some free stuff, but you have to, you know what? You've got to get down there.
That's right.
And you've got to come into the building where the free stuff is. Our food ministry, Shine Light Food Ministry, on Tuesdays from 8 to 12 is free food for people that are needy. It's to help needy families. It's free. But there's a lot of needy families we don't help because they don't show up.
Right.
But whoever shows up and comes in, you know, and signs up, and we... and gets prayer, you know, Tommy and Melissa pray with them, and whoever comes in gets free food. So how do you get there? How do you get to the place where all this is being offered? Well, praise will get you there. Thanksgiving will take you right into the presence of God, where all the free stuff is.
That's good.
Isn't that good? Well, won't He just do it? Well, no, He won't just do it. It's offered free for everybody, but you do have to show up. We're offering free food, but you have to show up. They put sales on companies all over the world, but you got to go. You got to show up. And praise is the vehicle that'll drive you to the place. Thanksgiving, sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving will take you into the presence of God. Jonah, this is a unique story here. Jonah was called by God to go to Nineveh and tell them to repent because they were in sin. Now, if you read the whole, it's just four chapters and very small chapters. You ought to read it. It wouldn't take you long to read the story. But what happened was he decided he wasn't going to do that because he knew God, because he's going to go down there. He's going to tell Nineveh to repent. And you know what? They're going to repent. And God's not going to let destruction and wrath and all that come on them. God's going to he actually knew God was so good that he wasn't going to do what he said, because as soon as he told Nineveh that they'd been judged, they were going to repent, and God was going to forgive them, because that's what God always does. And when I tell a city they're going to fall and they're going to burn, that I want them to fall and burn. That's what Jonah was saying. Really? I know some preachers that way, incidentally. I know a guy told me one time, he's not a preacher, but he's a Christian, he told me, he said, man, I can't wait till the rapture happens and some of these guys will get what's coming to them around here. The what? That's not exactly the right attitude. Are you with me? We don't want people to burn. We don't want people to go to hell. We don't. Thank God for the long suffering of God. That's why He's waiting so long to come, to give people more opportunity and chances to get saved. I mean, are you with me? And so Jonah, he decided he just wasn't going to do that. I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm not going to tell them to repent. They're going to repent when I tell them, and God, and then I'm going to look like a fool. I told him God's going to do it, and he didn't do anything. So he gets on a ship, and he goes, you know, out in the ship, running from God, running from the call. And all of a sudden, storms start coming. It's amazing what happens when you get out of God's will. And so they're thinking, man, what is going on? These guys on the ship, they don't know what in the world's going on. So they start casting lots to see who's the one that, you know, give them all this trouble. And lo and behold, the lot falls on Jonah. And Jonah, as we say in these texts, he fesses up, you know. He finally says, okay, guys, it's me. I'm your problem. And they say, well, what are we going to do? He says, well, I'm running from God, and the only way you're going to get out of this deal is throw me in the water. And they said, man, we can't do that. I mean, they were resisting. They weren't mean. They didn't want to do this.
Yeah.
And he finally convinced them. He said, there's no way around this thing. You're going to throw me out of this boat. And when you do that, the sea will calm down. Everything will be just fine. I am your problem. Which, that's pretty good. That's a lot of people I like to just throw out. Maybe the boat settle down a little bit. But anyway... That went over real big. But anyway, moving right along. He throws them out. And the Bible says that God prepared a great fish. It didn't say a whale. It just says a great fish. We don't know what kind it was. And the fish swallowed Jonah up. Now, Jonah's been in this fish for 3 days. Okay. I don't know what your sleeping arrangements are. I don't know. I don't know what kind of house you have. You know, but can you imagine laying in the belly of a fish? Ooh, 3 days, okay? Now, what gets me, and I got to hand it to Jonah, what kind of a man is it that could stand it for 3 days before he finally repents? He's tough. He's tougher than I am. I'd have repented the first 5 minutes. Are you kidding? That'd be it, man. Whatever I did, I am sorry, God. Forgive me. Get me out of here. 3 days he's in that well or fish. And finally, he repents. Notice what it says here, second chapter. Y'all found it? Jonah 2. Y'all get anything out of this?
Yes.
Okay. Now, at this point, what has he had to praise God about? I mean, for what's going on here? Nothing. Not a thing. What is he thanking God? And are you kidding me? He's trying to get out of this mess. And I mean mess. Okay. It says in the 9th verse, 2nd chapter, "But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." What's he thanking God for? What's going to happen? He's thanking God for salvation that's coming. He's thanking God in sacrifice and thanksgiving and saying, "I will do right, and I know you will save me." He's not thanking for what's happened. He's thanking for what's going to happen. You say, "Well, you don't know what's going on in my life." Well, look what's going on in Jonah's life. Well, I just don't feel like praising God. Well, I don't imagine Jonah did either. Probably didn't feel like it. But he did it because he knew that's how the blessing of God comes. Future tense, not just for what he's done, but if you want continual blessing, if you want God to move, then you get there by thanking and praising him for it before it happens. Just like Paul and Silas, just like Jonah. Hey, the devil thought he had Jonah. But after about 3 days, Jonah got too hot to handle. He started sacrificing and thanking and praising God, and that fish couldn't hold him. That fish got indigestion, heartburn, and everything. And if you want to give the devil indigestion and heartburn, start praising God and thanking God for the deliverance. He can't stand it. Notice the next verse. "So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah into dry land." I love that. Threw him up or something, you know. Regurgitated, whatever works for you. But anyway, when did it happen? So the Lord. So what? What do you mean, so the Lord? Well, after he praised God and thanked God, the Lord did this.
Yes.
Wow. Maybe you're in a mess. I don't know. But start thanking God for the answer.
Amen.
This could be your day to be thrown up. I always thought about this. Yeah, you don't want to go there. Okay, let's don't. But I've always thought about how after Jonah got, you know, he's out of the well. He's thrown up. He's 3 days he's in this well or this fish. And he goes into Nineveh and says, "Repent." Do you imagine? I mean, you're looking at this guy. He's got to be bleached white. Seaweed hanging out his ear. Repent. You better know that whole city repented. Every one of them, down to the cows, they all repented. I mean, everybody repented in that city when they saw Jonah. It took him all day to get across the city. It's a huge city. I mean, for a day, he's going through there, "Repent, repent," you know, and everybody's looking at him. You bet, man, I'm on my knees. What is that guy? I mean, he had to look just unnatural. Been rolling around those digestive juices for 3 days. And then he goes outside the city and hides outside the city, waiting for God to destroy it, and he didn't. He was mad about it. And God had to get on his case again about that. But you may be a hard case. I don't know. You can start praising God and get out of that mess you're in. You can't. You can be delivered. You may have done some things wrong. You may run from God. But if you'll stop and you'll repent and start praising God for his goodness, you can come out. You can live again. You can rise again. Turn over to Romans 4. We'll close this out. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving. It doesn't just deal with what has happened. It deals with what's going to happen. It deals with the future. In fact, really, And you'll see this plainly here in Romans 4. It really is a sign of your faith. Because if you really believe it's going to be better, if you really believe you're going to come out of this mess, if you really believe the sun will shine again, you'll start thanking Him while it's dark. You'll start thanking Him when you're down. Yeah. When you're chained. When you're in the belly of the whale. You'll thank Him and praise Him for His deliverance. Because you believe. Because you believe. See, that's why the just live by faith. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Because faith reveals to us the future. It makes us grateful. It makes us thankful. It makes us praise God and worship God when everything's going wrong, because we can see we're coming out of this. Hallelujah. God's bigger than this. This is not the end. Romans 4 chapter. Well, you know the story. It's about 17 verse. As is written, I have made you a father of many nations. God speaking to Abraham. In the presence of him whom he believed, Abraham believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Man, I like that. I love that. You know, we're always calling for things that hadn't happened, calling for things that are not, calling for health, calling for this, calling for that. Now, don't get it twisted. Some people do get it turned around. They'll start calling things that are as though they aren't. And that's not what it says. It says call things that aren't as though they are. Are you with me? I may feel bad. I'm not saying I don't feel bad. That'd be lying to say I don't feel bad. But I'm not. That's not what I'm dealing with. I'm calling for what's not. I am healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I believe I am healed.
Yes.
That's right. You don't say, I am not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick. That's calling what it is as though it weren't. Mm-hmm. But you do say, I am healed, I am healed, I am healed. That's calling what's not as though it is.
Amen. That's right.
We don't deny what's going on. We just calling for something else.
Yes.
When we walk over the air conditioner in the middle of the summer, we don't say it's hot, it's hot, it's hot. We put that thermostat on 72. Oh, we don't say it's not hot, it's not hot, it's not hot. It is hot. We're going to call for something cooler with a thermostat.
Yeah.
We're not saying we're not going through financial trouble. We're not saying we're not in change. We're not saying we're not in a well. But we're calling for something that is not. We're calling things that be not as though they were. We're not calling the things that are as though they're not.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Okay. So he does that, and God calls the things to be not as though they were. 18 verse, who contrary to hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall thy descendants receive be. Man, I'm having a hard time not preaching on every verse here. Stay with me. And not being weak in faith, 19th verse, he did not consider his own body, already dead, since he was about 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver or stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Wow. King James says strong in faith, giving glory to God. New King James says strengthened in faith by giving glory to God. You want your faith to build, start praising God, start giving God glory.
Yes.
If you really believe, you will give God glory. And that will just, it's just like a perpetual energy motion machine. I mean, when you start praising God, when you're believing, it just increases your faith.
Yeah.
It strengthens your faith. Now, when did he do that, though? Before it ever happened.
Right.
Before the promise ever came to pass. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God before he ever saw a difference.
Right. That's good. Mm-hmm.
While he was still 100 years old. Well, it still had the deadness of Sarah's womb and still had his body at that age. He was giving glory to God for something that hadn't happened yet. And being strong in faith or strengthened in faith, he gave glory to God. 21st verse, being fully persuaded or convinced that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Man, I love that. Praise and thanksgiving is just proof that we're believing God. And it fully persuades us. It really is the consummation of our faith. If we haven't walked away and said, thank you, we hadn't reached the point of faith. Just hadn't got there yet. We're still asking, but we still hadn't got there in faith yet. I mean, that's exactly what Philippians 4, don't turn there. Philippians 4, 6 says, be careful, fretful, anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Well, what do you mean? I'm coming asking God for something. Why would I put thanksgiving in that? Because you're thanking Him for the answer.
Yes.
You're thanking Him for what's going to happen. You're thanking Him for the deliverance. You're thanking Him that this is the day you're going to be thrown up. Or something like that. Amen.